Good evening. How was your afternoon?
Good.
Well, at least one person had a good afternoon. Mine was great. And I really thoroughly enjoyed being with y'all and eating with you today at lunch and getting to know you better. And your singing is marvelous. You have some really good song leaders, and it really helps the worship and our mindset when we come together and when we sing like we did this evening to the praise and the glory of God. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. That's where we're going to be tonight. As we go through some things in the Bible about the family and about roles of husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and children, what I think it would be helpful to do is, if you have a piece of paper or if you think about it, just make to have dominion over. And what we are, in some cases, what we're doing is we're pitting something that some endangered species, whether it happened to be a bug, a bird, an animal or whatever, against human life. And God never intended that to be that way. Man had the responsibility in the beginning to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth, to subdue it, to have dominion over it. God told man to do that and how he lived. Then in chapter 2, the very first thing that God told man to do, and this is kind of a restatement of what he said, in verse 15, Jehovah God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. First thing God said for man to do is to work. That's part of what man is supposed to do, is to work. Not to be some lazy bum somewhere or to have somebody else to do his work for him. But he said man is to work. He placed it in the garden, him in the garden, to keep it and to dress it, our society. Now we're trying to look at ways to get out of doing work rather than going out and doing the work that God would have us to do. He told man to do that, to work. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, one of the things he told the church at Thessalonica is that there was a man that was among them that wasn't working. And as shouldn't eat of this fruit, or could eat of everything. And then she explained what God said. I didn't do it. He didn't say that. The man said, the woman that you gave me, she gave me of the tree and I ate of it. God, it's her fault. Well, he wasn't really saying, God, it's your fault. The woman's fault. He's saying, God, you're the one that caused me to do that, because if you haven't given me this woman, she wouldn't have asked me to do this and I wouldn't have sinned. Well, he goes to Eve. Jehovah God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Neither one of them fessed up to what they had done. They blamed it on something else. Now go back to the question. Why did God come to Adam? He wasn't the one that initiated it. But he came to him first. He said, Adam, what is it that you've done? Why didn't he go to the woman? The woman is the one that did it in the first place. She was the one that was beguiled. She was the one that gave him the fruit to eat of. Why didn't God go to her? Because she wasn't the one that was responsible. Adam was the one that was responsible. Headship has already begun. It was in God's plan from the beginning. That's why he went to Adam. It's not, and not to Eve. Now, it is true they both were responsible for the choices they made. But it's just like in family. One of the things that young people do not have a grasp on and do not understand is when their parents stand before God at the judgment, they're going to have to give an account for what they did in that family. A child can say, but this is what I want to do. It's not what you want to do. That's not the point. The point is that God placed the responsibility with the parents, not with the child. And children don't understand that. They don't understand that their parents are ultimately responsible before God. And that's why parents do the things that they do, because God has placed them in that position to do that. Children don't get it. They will one day. When they get older, and they get married, and they have children, they'll begin to see what an awesome responsibility it is to have a life in your hands that you mold and that you make and that you have to teach according to God's purposes. A successful parent is not a parent whose children turn out the way you think they ought to turn out. A successful parent is a parent that does what God said. And we need to learn to obey what God said and the way that we rear our children. Adam was accountable. He was the head. God came to him for an explanation. He was responsible for Eve. And apparently he had abandoned his post. And it's kind of typical. You mean he passed the blame, just like we all have a tendency to pass the blame. But now look at the curse. In verse 14, it says, "And Jehovah God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, cursed art thou above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is the first indication we have that God is the Redeemer God. That he is going to set in motion, and had already set in motion, plans whereby mankind can be redeemed. Then he says to the woman in verse 16, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy pain and thy conception." Now, is this the first time that we hear that woman is supposed to conceive or bear children? Early it says to be fruitful and to multiply. This is not the first time we understand that that's a part of what she is to do. But he's what he says to her, "I will greatly multiply thy pain." Ladies, you can thank Eve for what she's done. Eve started all this rolling. And then God said, "And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." This is not the first time we understand about headship and subjection. What we discover is that between a man and a woman, there is going to be this constant tension. And it was really interesting. We are studying the family back in San Antonio. And we spent two lessons talking about the role of a man. And a husband and a father. And during the discussion that we had about that, I mean, it was very calm discussion. You know, everybody kind of agreed. And once one man told me, he said, "We talked about the role of a man, and we just sat there and took it." Well, then we had two lessons about the role of a woman.